So I'm up there in New York, and at my kitchen table, and one of my daughters was sitting next to me. I was having a cup of coffee or something, and I get a phone call, and I'm talking, and my daughter says, "Who's that?" And I said, "It's the lead guitar player with Aerosmith." And she said, "Joe Perry?" And I said, "No, Steve Perry." And she got up from the table and ran into her room and tore off a Journey poster off her wall. And she came in and showed me. She said, "That's Steve Perry." And I said, "Oh." So I was talking to Steve, and honest, that's exactly what happened. And Steve said, hey, and he'd been discussing with some colleagues who he should write with for his solo record he was going to do in between Journey records.
Right.
And a really good studio musician friend of mine, Andy Newmark, drummer from the New York area.
Right.
I guess he and Steve were good friends, and he suggested me. And he said, you know, he wrote "You Needed Me" and "Bluer Than Blue" and stuff like that. And I assume that's what he said.
Uh-huh.
So Steve said, you know, I'd really like for us to try to write a couple of things for my solo record. When are you coming out next? And I said, tomorrow. And, of course, I didn't have a ticket, but I said, when do you want to start? And he said, how about 11 a.m.? And I said, I'll see you at 11. So I got on the phone, and I booked a red eye. And or what the equivalent of.
Right.
And so I showed up at 11. And, you know, before I went there, though, I had some time while I was packing, and I was telling Gail and the kids about it, and I said, you know, I don't know why he called me, but, you know, because I said, you know, I don't write like John Cain and Neil Sean and those guys. I mean, I don't know if he's, and I certainly think the best thing for me to do is at least take him a piece of a start or a map or something that's in the style that I write.
Right.
And we'll see. We'll either have a successful writing day, or I will have met the famous Steve Perry and have a cup of coffee and, you know, whatever. I mean, I'd been around the block a few times already and sort of knew the best thing for me to take in was me. So I went into piano and kind of goofed around. I had some and came up with this little vamp. I thought, this is a good thing to start with. So I showed up at his rental house that he had, and you know, I was in my my intermediate or small rental car and had my English writing cap on, and you know, whatever. And he's got a fire engine red running suit or whatever you call it, workout, and hair down to his waist. And I thought, you know, oil and water, meet, you know, and so. But we hit it, you know, it was great meeting him, and I went inside, he fixed me a great cup of coffee, and we visited for a while, and I met Sherry, his girlfriend, and we went into this little sort of small writing room that he had. He had an electric piano and a little TIAC 4-track cassette player. You probably remember those.
Right.
Way back. And so I immediately sat down at the piano, and I said, I've got a little something that I was kicking around after we talked, and let's see what you think about this. So I started playing the vamp to what ended up being the intro of Foolish Heart.
Okay.
And we started doing it, and he just started doing some la-la stuff. You know, from being a publisher,
when you
get a phonetic nonsense track from somebody and give it to a lyricist. Anyway, he started doing stuff, and immediately I started writing down a draft of the lyrics. And he said, "Wow, you're really fast. We can do the lyrics later." I said, "No, I like to do them at the same time because." And then I later explained to him why, but I'll explain to you why also. But usually when I write a song and I get the really inspired by it, lyrics just start flying for me. I mean, I get the premise, I start going, you know. And so by about 11 a.m., we broke for lunch, and he says, "That's really great. We should just start another one." I said, No. We need to stay with this one until we get it. Uh-huh. We're going to get this. So 11 p.m. that night, we had the demo on that little four track,
right.
And it was killer. Uh-huh. I mean, it was smoking. And I thought, well, that's been a great day. I wrote a song with Steve Perry, and who knows? You know, it's
right.
Not anything. Didn't sound like Journey at all. I told him, I said, you know, I'm not going to try to do a clone of Journey with you. And he said, I don't want that. He said, I'm trying to find a new bag or something. I said,
right.
Well, good. Let me know if you need any more help. So he said, well, you're coming back tomorrow, right? And I said, oh, sure. Of course, I had no plan.
Right.
So I wrote for 4 days. We wrote four songs. And and then I got on my plane, went back to Connecticut. And I thought, well, I hope something makes it on the record. About 4 or 5 days later, I get a phone call, and it's Steve. He says, so are you going to come back? And I said, do you want to write some more? He said, yeah. So I got back on the plane, went back out there, and we started writing, and we wrote a few more. And right. Then we started talking about the recording process. And, of course, the paint was still fresh on me from being a studio player. So I was, always thinking about the record and this and that, and he suggested some players and stuff, and it wasn't too long after that he rented Amigo Studio, and we started auditioning people.
Right.
First of all, he had written a bunch of, he had some songs that he had co-written with Bill Como, so Bill and I were sort of like the Givens in the formula. We were going to be in the band.
Right.
And then we basically had to decide on guitar, bass, and drums. Anyway, I'm making this way too long, but I could go on and on and on about that. But it was a marvelous project.
Well, you did Foolish Heart the first day, so when did you do Oh Sherry?
Well, Oh Sherry came at the end. What happened was we had a bunch of songs. And there were some that actually were co-written by other guys that they had written before working with me and all that. And somewhere along the line, right, we had already been in rehearsals and stuff. And he said, "You know, I've got this one song, and I really think it's I think it could be good, but I hate the lyrics. We had some. I like you to just listen to it." Fresh. I don't think they ever even had a lyric to speak of.
Right.
But he gave me a la-la track, just phonetics, you know, and said, see if you can come up with something on that. And so I went and basically participated in the lyrics.
Right.
That was my contribution to that.
Okay.